Well, I've got a few things to comment on as usual.
Thank you, Mike.
You know, the first sentence out of Mark's mouth today when he started the teaching was, "Follow after peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." And the thought came to me, you know, what is beautiful to God is your facial features or the size of shape of your body. What is beautiful to God? There's a scripture that says, praise him in the beauty of his holiness. So what's beautiful to God is holiness. And that scripture Mark read said, without this holiness, no man shall see God. And you know, when it says see God, it doesn't necessarily mean see him with your eyes. You know, when somebody's explaining something, you don't quite understand it, and all of a sudden you say, oh, now I see. And there's more to that word seeing than just seeing him with our eyes. You know, it's like what's beautiful to God is holiness. And holiness is a fancy word for wholeness. And so are you whole or are you broken? You know, God can make us whole. The more of God we have in us, the more whole we are. And we run around, you know, the women want to be beautiful for the men and the men want to be beautiful for the women. There's really only one entity that we need to worry about being beautiful for, and that's God. And what's beautiful to him is holiness. And then also Esau selling his birthright. You know, a lot of us are selling our birthright for a mess of pottage. You know, our birthright is to walk this earth like Jesus did, to live and be in the Spirit, to stretch your hand out and touch a blind man's eyes and he sees again. And we're trading that birthright for a mess of pottage. And it doesn't necessarily mean food. You know, there's all kinds of things we're trading our birthright for. It can be, you know, money, traveling, cars, vacations, you know, the things of this world. We're selling our birthright for a mess. That was interesting that they used the word a mess of pottage. They didn't say a bowl of pottage or a serving of pottage, but a mess of pottage. That's what we're doing too, and we've got to come out of that. And then I wrote down a couple other things here. You know, we talked about Job's complaining and talking about a root of bitterness, and the remembrance came to my mind that Abraham Lincoln had a son named Willie, and Willie died as a child. And Abraham Lincoln made the statement, I think I shall never be glad again. And I'm not knocking him, because that's a very understandable thing. And, you know, we have to get to the place where we don't blame God for anything. You know, Mark hit on that a little bit. How some people, something really bad goes wrong in their life and they blame God for it. And for the whole rest of their life, they don't open up to God because they're mad at him. They're bitter over what happened. But we've got to get beyond that. We can't blame God for anything. You know, he doesn't work that way. That's not our God. And then also, you know, when they were all happy after crossing the Red Sea, and Mark said, was there any bitterness in them? And, you know, they were all dancing and happy. And when he read that, the thought that came to my mind was, What was the difference in how they were acting and Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? That's where we need to get to. And then lastly, something that's always amazed me, Mark touched on, some people seem to be able to get through these bad experiences in their life, you know, and not come out bitter and blaming God. And I'll bet you I've seen, I don't know, maybe 6 or 8 or 10, something like that, of interviews where some guy spent like 21 years in jail for a crime he didn't commit. You know, they finally proved it wasn't him by DNA or whatever it was, you know. And these guys come on the TV, and I don't think I ever heard one of them say, I'm going to get those guys for putting me in jail. I never did that. They're all just so happy. They're so happy that they got out of there. They're just full of joy and love, seemingly. And I'm thinking, my goodness, you know, and it's almost like maybe God lets us go through some of those things. It made me think of that song, You Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone. You know, some of those experiences, when we get through them, we're just so happy for the goodness in life that we can't be bitter about it. And I just thought, man, what a testament to some guy that just spent 20 years of his life, you know, that he shouldn't have had to even do, and yet he comes out and he's happy. It is, what a miracle, what a testament of, you know, how good a human can really be, you know. Anyway, that's it. God bless you.
You know, many of you I've known personally. What I mean by that, in person, over a period of time, and you followed my life, I followed your life, and I've known many, many of you, the tragedies that have encountered your life, betrayal of a loved one, terrible things that have been done to you. But I see that God has been able to help you through all these bitter times. Mike is talking about having been in prison. Who was that brother that was in the Romanian prison?
Richard Wormbrand?
Wormbrand, yeah. Now, I think there was a brother. Corrie ten Boom. What a sweet woman she was. Corrie ten Boom was in the German concentration camps during World War II. Came out a very, very sweet. The bitterness was gone. She could have taken in a lot of bitterness. I think she simply made up her mind that she wasn't going to take it. You know, I can very well imagine, you know, the Egyptian taskmasters, I believe they were very cruel to the slaves. If they didn't perform just the way they were expected, they'd bring the whips out, whip them, beat them on their back, you know, scourging. Jesus was scourged for our transgressions. But I can well imagine being, you know, I see the way the world reacts to things. It doesn't take much to cause them to harbor bitterness. Just a very slight thing. And the bitterness crops up, springing up and troubling many. When these things spring up, they bring trouble to you.
You know, Mark, when you mentioned Corrie ten Boom, her sister was in the concentration camp with her, you know, and I think her sister had a lot to do even with who Corrie Ten Boom became. Just for instance, Corrie was complaining about the fleas, and her sister said, "Sister, those fleas are what's kept those German guys from having their way with you." And also later in Corrie's life, I can't remember where she was. I think it was in a church somewhere. And the guy that was the leader of the concentration camp, who was responsible for her sister dying, was there. And she forgave him. And it was like the weight of the world was lifted off of her. That bitterness was hurting her more than anyone else. And it was all gone when she forgave him.
Amen. Is there anybody here that has not been handed a cruel hand at times in your life? You would say, "I don't deserve this." Is there anybody here on this meeting today that has not been given something that could make us bitter? I don't believe there is. I don't know everything about all of your lives. But those I do know, I know you could have taken on some real hard bitterness. And you know, I've dealt with a lot of people in the world in the thing I've been through. I know what it does. Well, somebody besides Mike, I'm sure we've got some good things to share. Don't hold it all in. Go ahead, Brother Daniel.
Yeah, amen. Well, when you were sharing about this water that it came to, and they tested it, and it was bittered. And I'm not afraid to speak about these things, and I'm really happy to speak about these things, and I'm glad to speak about these things, because, you know, when God brings us to a place, He is bringing us to a certain place to be our overcomer. He wants us to overcome. And I know in my life, when I was hit by rejection, anger, or bitterness, or a lot of things that comes our way, it is to overcome these things. In that way that I know my God and your God, is that we need to go through certain things to overcome. And his disciples asked him one time, "Did this man, was his parents that were sinning that he was born like this?" And he said, "No, he is born like this so the glory of the God can been shining up on him." So I know from my own experience that I needed to go through bitterness to overcome it. I needed to, if I want to be free from anger, I need to be angry. And when I'm angry, I go before him and said, "My God, I do not want this into my life. I do not want this part to be in my being." And like in the place of Mara, they they put the tree in the water. We need God, ask God, let my being, let my nature be in this water. Let your water wash us. We think sometimes we are coming to your water and it's like taste bitter. But it is going to be sweet because there no need to be change. What does he says in Book of Revelation about the book when he said to John, eat the book? It was sweet in their mouth, but it was bitter. So there is both things, sweet and bitter, but the sweetness of it comes from him. The bitter things is something that we need to overcome. It's about our experience, our walk. I know from my own early life when I was starting first step to be a Christian, I met people that I was thinking, well, they tell me that they are Christian, but no one should act like this if they are Christian. So I was really looking at them and thinking, well, if they are Christian, they need to be holy, thank you. But to be a Christian is a walk. And it's a walk from our carnality into spiritual being. And to have a spirit of God within our life and to overcome these things because to be a part of what God have for us, we need to go through these things. It's not always good things to go through. And sometimes God puts something into our life that is really, really difficult for us. And we think, oh, I must have been doing something wrong that I am experiencing these things. And even looking through the Job, we see that Job said, I didn't do anything. I didn't deserve these things. And the story says that he was righteous. But in what way? It was his self-righteous. And when he repented and got God righteousness, he got all things back. So God was teaching Job, well, is your righteousness, your self-righteousness, is that better than mine righteousness? What kind of righteousness do you want? So Job put himself down before him and said to him, well, I'm not going to win a battle against you. So he took and repented before God. And God gave him his righteousness, and he got everything back, even double. So, to go into the things, I know from my own experience that I was praying for one man, and I did know nothing about him. But I felt that there came a word to me to him, and it was about all the trouble that he went through his life. I didn't know it. And I said, you know, when you went through all your suffering, I want to tell you something that God is really wanted to tell you. It's not yours. We become a partaker of his suffering. And because we are partaker of his suffering, we will be partaker of his glory. What a price, what a beautiful glory that is waiting for us to cover us, that we can walk and talk and be and rest and live in his glory in Jesus' name. So blessing to you all.
Thank you, brother.
I also had a thought too, as you all are speaking, and Brother Mark, as you were sharing. You know, when they came to the, God was trying their hearts to see what was in their hearts. And the scripture that came to me was Jeremiah 17, We're all familiar with it, but when you start at verse 7, it says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." So I for me, it just seems like many of these things is that I encounter is a way of showing things inside of me that I didn't even know were there, that God is trying to help me to overcome.
You know, I think one of the cruelest things that can happen is betrayal. You know, this happened to Jesus. Of course, he was Jesus. He knew it was going to happen, but still it happened. And it's very cruel, you know, to, in your life, say you're married to someone, completely trusting, and then discover that they're going to betray you. Very hurtful, very painful thing. And life is full of pain. But you know what? With the tree of Christ, with the cross, we can change that bitterness, and it isn't bitter anymore. Anyone else? I'm still a little bit baffled at how Peter came up so quickly with what he said to Simon the sorcerer. I'm just a little bit baffled at how this came so quickly. How did Peter discern the gall of bitterness? He really laid it on. And it was, you know, in my own thinking, I would say, well, the guy is just, you know, he just wants to have the gift. But there was something else that Peter picked up of the Spirit. How did he get that? What? Rita says the word of knowledge. Yeah. But how in our thinking, how do we put this together? Trace me the path, if you will. Go ahead. Was that you, Mike?
What comes to my mind is so many different accounts of when people came to Jesus and asked him a question. You know, there's a whole bunch of different instances, but that one time when he fed the 5,000 and then in the middle of the night, he went over to the other side of the lake without the people knowing it. And the next morning when they realized he was gone, they walked around the other side and they come to him and they say, "When did you get here?" And, you know, he could have just answered them, "Well, last night about 10 o'clock or whatever, you know." Instead, he says to them, "I tell you the truth. You seek me because you got your bellies full." And so by the Spirit of God, he could see right through their question. And I think that's what happened with Peter when the guys tried to buy the Holy Spirit. I don't think they were doing it just because they are really a good thing. Like he saw right through it. And the way he saw through it was he was living and walking and being in the Spirit. And the words that come out of people's mouths are not always the truth, and if you're operating in the Spirit, you can see right through that bunch of baloney that they're saying, and you see the root and the what's really on their minds. And I think that's the answer to it, is Peter, by the Spirit, could just tell that these guys were up to no good wanting to buy the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just because they thought it was a good thing and they wanted it and they wanted to be good guys, Anyway, that's what it seems like to me.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I think it's bitterness is also something that can happen in our life from outside, but it also bitterness is something that can happen also within our life. And I believe when Peter heard the cockle was crowing and the third time, he cried bitterly. Because he wanted to stand, he wanted to be, but he was not able. He was afraid. He could not. He really wanted, but he was lacking of something in his life. He really, really, really loved to stay. He wanted to be. He could not understand what's happening. He was lacking something that he really need in his life, but he didn't have it because it was not already giving there. And when he heard the bird was crowing at the third time, he remembered the word that Jesus said to him. And he knew that there was something that was going to take place within him that was going to be changed. So this is something that we have to deal with sometimes outside in a circumstances or in one another, but it's also something that we are dealing with in our own life because we are lacking of something. And in both places, we need to come before the throne of God and receive the energy from the throne to stand.
Amen. Did Esau have a right to be bitter? I mean, surely he remembered that he sold that birthright. Should he not have thought back, "Oh, I gave it away. Well, all right, I guess that's it." Word says he was a profane person. Profane means that something that is holy, he just regarded as common. And yet he got all upset about missing it.
Amen.
I find the word fornication in that same verse that seems to be applying to Esau, lest there be a profane person like Esau or a fornicator. Now, there's nothing in the Old Testament that tells of Esau being a fornicator, and yet you find that he did have a very casual attitude about marriage and women. His mother didn't like the daughter of Heth. Says, "This woman's getting to me. I can't stand it." What's he do? He goes out and gets another one. I mean, he's so casual about such a relationship. He must have been very casual about the way he conducted his life in that manner. Mother doesn't like my wife. Oh, I'll go get another one. interesting character study that God gives us, isn't it? In the Old Testament,
Amen. I
even
think.
old brother Jacob. My goodness, I'm glad I didn't live back then and have the Lord expose all my life like that. That would be a very interesting study.
I think it's a different really between our self-righteousness and the righteousness that God is giving us. I believe that even Esau, he had a self-righteousness and it was his right. I can speak to about my own life that things that happened to me, I didn't deserve it. Many trouble that came my way. Oh man, I did not serve it. I was not that bad, you know. But it came anyhow.
Did you
But it was
complain?
my self-righteousness that was speaking. But
Did you
well,
complain, brother? Did you complain to God?
Oh yeah, I planned to God, and I even was praying and said, why is this happening to me? I have always been good to this people or this man, and he's treating me like this. I do not deserve it. But you know, the blood of Abel, he speaks about revenge, but the blood of Christ is mercy and grace and forgiveness. And that is the difference between the self-righteousness and this righteousness of God through his blood and of the Lamb. So when I get closer to God, I really saw that the righteousness of God was mercy and grace. And when I came to my fellow again that have done something to me, it was gone. There was no barrier between us anymore. So it's a, but it's a process. We need to go through these things to overcome, and we are not finished. It's a learning process every day until the end of all things come. And I'm so glad that the word is have been in my mind and in my spirit all these days. Is he is going to fill all in all. So, amen.
Well, thank you for being with us today. It is good to have fellowship. And we shall meet again next week if the Lord is willing. So I believe we can say our goodbyes then for today. Let me turn this off, recording.